Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 135th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Mateo Hodo. Originally from the capital city of Albania, Tirana, he and his brother and parents came to Maine when he was 16 years old, already fluent in English, Italian, and Albanian as well. In preparation for this interview, I did some web surfing to study up on Albania, and it is fantastically beautiful, looking like a combination of Grecian landscapes with clear water, rocky islands, ancient ruins, and the Swiss Alps, rugged, upright mountains with pastoral lands in the valleys. Mateo, why is it Mainers don't really know much about Albania? It's so beautiful.
It is. I think it's because it's so far away. And not many Americans travel to Albania. Even though when we lived there, I knew a family that was doing a mission with their church. And they actually spent about 10 years in Albania. And I think they were from Kentucky. But I haven't met many Americans after that. I don't know. I think maybe they visit Greece. It's a lot more advertised. Italy is a lot more advertised. I don't know. Maybe Albania doesn't do a good job advertising themselves. It's such a beautiful country.
Just by looking at the pictures, I'm sold. I wonder where you would recommend I go when I go to Albania on vacation.
Oh, I would probably, if you're going for in the summertime, I would go down south to Jal or Vlora, anything on the Ionian. It would be that beautiful coastline. You can be 30 feet deep in the water and still see under you. It is just breathtaking. And the temperature of the water, it's about 75 degrees, which is amazing. You don't want to go out.
Oh, that sounds so yummy. What if it's in the winter? Would I go up north?
Yes. I mean, you live in Maine, though. You wouldn't want to go in the winter.
Yeah, right. What was I thinking?
even though skiing is one thing that they haven't tapped upon. There is mountains, there is snow, but there is no ski resorts. Mm. So a lot of Albanians actually go to Macedonia if they want to go skiing, which actually that would be a good business for someone to start.
Yeah, maybe.
I know.
So what do you wish everyone knew about Albania as a country?
First, I would wish that they knew where it was located, because every time I walk into or I run into someone and they ask me where I'm from, I say Albania and they automatically assume that is in South America. And I don't know, maybe my skin tone or something. It's funny because even when my wife and I would go to Florida for vacation, we walk somewhere and people speak to me in Spanish first before English.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why, but I would like for them to know where it is. And
tell
it's located
it is, yeah.
North of Greece, east of Italy, and it borders Greece, Kosovo, Macedonia, Montenegro, and Italy by water.
Yes. That securely puts it in what they call southern...
Southeastern Europe.
Yeah. Yeah. Eastern European countries.
Yes.
In the south.
Yes.
So what kind of images stay with you from your upbringing in Tirana? Can you tell us a little bit what Tirana looks like and what you think of when you think of it?
So Tirana, let me start. Tirana had a big development happen in the past 20 years. Mainly in the past 15 or so, because I moved here July 4th, 2002, and I didn't go back to visit until September of 2008. And I was shocked. I mean, there were big buildings that got built. A lot of, like, the house that I used to live on was taken down, and now it's a 20-story building. So it's being developed as we speak. It was quite far behind. Images that stay with me, I have to give you an idea of how far behind it was. I remember one time I was walking to school. This was in high school, and this poor old man was trying to run for the bus, and it had rained, and you know, the sewer systems, the caps, well, a lot of people were actually stealing those for metal recycling.
Oh, no.
And he's running for the bus, and he's not paying attention where he's walking, and then all of a sudden he falls into the sewer trap, and I was like, oh my god, it was so funny but so sad at the same time. And they had a comedy show, and these two guys would walk around with a little ladder to help people come out of the sewer system to tell the city that, hey, you got to do something about this because it's becoming a problem.
Yes, humor is a good tool.
But now there isn't many of those left. A lot of the roads have been fixed, but there is still a lot of traffic. Oh my god, traffic makes New York look good.
Is it because it's an old city, and so then the roads are hard to expand?
It's overpopulated.
Yeah, there are 3 million people in Albania. What do you think in Tirana?
I don't know, but the majority is in Tirana.
Yeah.
And a lot of the nicest universities are in Tirana. Pretty much a lot of that's happening in Albania, it's in Tirana. So everybody from out of town, when kids go to college, that's where they go, unless if they can go to another country, they will, but most of them just go to Tirana.
And is college paid for by the state?
Yes, yes it is. There is private colleges. There is private high schools and private colleges, and there is state colleges and state high schools.
And so just the state ones are paid for?
Correct.
Gotcha. So what did your parents and grandparents do for work when you were a child?
My grandfather, I believe, was a general in the army. And my grandmother was a stay-at-home mom. They had 7 kids.
Which was probably normal
yes.
for then, right?
Yeah. Yes. It was normal for their generation a lot. I think it changed to, you know, my parents' generation.
In roughly 1960.
Yes. They only had 2 and they would put a stop to it.
Yeah, there was a choice to be made.
Exactly.
Yeah. And how about your parents? What kind of work are they involved in?
My parents used to own a little department store. Not department store. It was a little grocery store. It was more, I would probably compare it to Rosemont. Rosemont would be a very good example of what it was. It was a little neighborhood Rosemont.
Oh, that's interesting. They made a little community hub of their own.
Yes. And my parents had that even during communism. And it was at a time where everything was portioned. So a family of 4 could only have a certain amount of butter. They could only have a certain amount of rice, a certain amount of chicken. So it was a very tough time for Albanian families at that time. And my parents had the store since then. And then when the Democratic Party took over, everything became privatized. And that's when the store went from a state-owned to privately owned. And that's when they bought it and took over it.
Because your country went through a number of years of communistic rule.
Yes, it was. And some of the stories that I hear from my parents or Alba's parents are I can't even imagine them, you know.
Like what?
Like stories about people being in line for milk, and then when they would go over there, they wouldn't even get probably 20 ounces of milk for a family of 4. People would be in line for bread, and sometimes by the time they would get there wouldn't be enough bread left, or if there is, they would have to take a loaf of bread and cut it into pieces to feed 10 families of 4. So everything was very, very limited. And it makes you think and wonders how certain countries are still like that, and how fortunate we are to have everything really unlimited as long as we can afford it.
Yeah, that's part of the upward trajectory of Albania at this point, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So your parents won the green card lottery, and I'm wondering, when you found out you'd be leaving your home country as a teenager, what did you think? You were 16, 15 when you found out?
I was 16.
Yeah.
What was going through my mind? I was sad. I was sad to leave all my friends. I was so close to all of my friends, and I still am now, even my middle school friends. But I knew that I would go back to visit, and I wanted to see. But the picture that I had of America was big buildings, skyscrapers. And when we landed in Michigan, and all I could see was little houses here and there. And I'm like, wait, I thought I would see something completely different. But that's how it's portrayed in movies and stuff like that.
Sure, which we export like crazy.
Yes.
Yeah. And so did you live in Michigan first?
I stayed in Michigan for a year. I went to Troy High School for half a semester of my junior year, and then finished out the rest of the credits at Bon Eagle in Standish.
Yeah.
When we moved to Maine, yes.
So why Maine then, if you were already in Michigan?
My mom had a distant relative that lived here, and she just wanted to move closer to somebody that she knew.
Sure, I bet that would help a lot with the homesickness and just the acculturation.
Yes.
Knowing where to go to get whatever you need.
Yes, and then we fell in love with Maine. Mm-hmm. We love how Maine is quiet, beautiful, relaxed. The air is so clean here.
Yeah.
So decided
to
stay.
Are you in touch with other Albanians in the area? Do you just run into Albanians here and there?
Not many here. Michigan has a lot population. They even have neighborhoods that are just Albanian neighborhoods. Not many here. Maybe just a few families.
Hmm.
I have one of my best friends is from Albania, and he lives in South Portland, but that's about it. I know of a few families, just don't. I work so much, and
yeah,
just time doesn't, you know, make for acquaintances.
Sure. And it's not as if you're limited by your language and need to be with other Albanian speakers. You know, you've got English, and if you want to, you can just go all Italian on us. When you were packing to come as a teenager, what did you bring with you? What did you think? I can't go to the United States without taking my...
Not much, actually, believe it or not. Just a few clothes and a few gifts that I had from friends. Like, you know, a couple T-shirts that a couple of friends had given me, and which I still have today. But personal, not much. I kind of wanted to start fresh.
And start fresh you did.
I didn't know what was waiting for me here. I was kind of nervous, excited, but sad to leave.
Yeah, and then you started at Bonnie Eagle, which was so rural an area. Did you move to Portland eventually?
Yes. After I graduated Bonnie Eagle, I started going to USM. And that's what transitioned my move into Portland.
And do your parents still live out there?
My parents live in Westbrook.
Uh-huh.
They bought a house in Westbrook back in 2006, 2005.
Yeah. So you've moved into your little Tirana.
Yes.
If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. My guest is Mateo Hodo. He is a carpenter, has real estate, and he and his wife, Alba, have just opened a gorgeous coffee shop at 221 Cumberland Avenue, kind of behind Merrill Auditorium, and it's called Coffee Me Up. And this was just 2 months ago that you opened your doors. So originally you thought you might like to work in finance. Is that right?
Yes. Well, I went to one of the majors that I was taking at USM was finance, and I was working as a mortgage broker. And that's when I met this gentleman named Crandall Toothaker that was involved in real estate, and I was intrigued by it. And I loved his real estate portfolio. I liked the message that he was sending, the beautiful homes that he was providing for people renting. And I think I wanted to create that someday as well. So I got started into it. I wanted to learn the trades because I knew that to own real estate, I didn't have the funds to hire. And that's what got me into the trades. And then I fell in love with carpentry because I feel like a kid playing with wood.
Yeah, he's probably pretty glad he found you because you're one of those people that just wants it to be exactly right.
I know. He has a lot to do with that OCD, though.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, yes.
He likes it exactly
yes,
right, too?
Yes.
I love an exacting carpenter.
I know. I try.
Yeah, that's great. So can you tell us how you got from finance to owning a business with your wife?
Alba actually graduated for finance as well, and she was managing a coffee shop, and we were talking, and she was actually interested in at some point either changing her, she was getting too comfortable at her job, and she was looking into something in finance, and then she couldn't find something. So then we decided I have the skill to build one, and she has the skill to run one, so why not?
So why not? I'm so glad you did. Tell us about your coffee shop. Coffee me up.
Coffee me up.
What makes it a special place of welcoming?
Everything makes it special. It's starting from the name. My brother-in-law, Alba's brother, actually is the one that came up with the name. She designed the logo, and her and I, together with Crandall, designed the space inside. And I did a lot of the interior finish of it. So we put a lot of heart, thought, and work into making it. We wanted to have a beautiful spot for people to interact with each other. And we want to have a relationship with our customers because we want to relay a message that a cup of coffee is as important to us serving it as it is to making their day better when they leave with it.
Yeah.
It's that smile when they walk in and it resonates and stays with them when they leave.
Earlier this week when I went in there, I just stood in line. I talked to the woman behind me in line. She loves coming in. Your wife greeted her by name. She lives locally and comes in all the time, and it's her hub. And I got to the front of the line and I said, "Hi, I'm," she goes, "I know, you're Kate." And I've met her one time weeks ago during a busy rush of everything. And I thought, yeah, this is going to be a successful place.
Let's hope so. And we have, last but not least, we have Olivia, which is, we feel so thankful to have her because she's amazing. She's not just an amazing barista, she's an amazing human being. And she used to do that for us when we would go to Starbucks for a cup of coffee. And the reason why we started going to Starbucks instead of a local coffee shop is because of how much better she would make our day when we left.
Oh, so you have personal experience and now you're sharing that with others.
Yes.
Yes. Olivia is your, do you call her a coffee artist? She makes beautiful things in the coffee lattes.
She really does. She's very, very talented. She's more talented than she gives herself credit to.
Yes.
And it was quite a surprise to me as well.
And you have a sizable menu that goes along with this. You can go in and not just get coffee, but get coffee and breakfast or coffee and lunch. You're open from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So really, there's food and coffee for you anytime.
Yes, and we're still, because we're so new, we're still working on what we're going to keep as staples on the menu and add new ones to make more of a variety and have specials. But we're still on our trial and deciding process.
How's it going with the prosciutto sandwich?
It's going good, very well.
Yeah. Tell us your favorite food item on the menu.
Oh, my God. As you can tell, I have a lot of favorites. I love the eclairs that my mother-in-law makes.
I've resisted those every time I've been in.
And Alba is so lucky to have her mother support and teach her throughout this whole process. The baklava, it's another one that's excellent. It takes her about 3 or 4 days to, by the time she starts making it, to when it's servable. And she makes the phyllo dough and layers every single layer by hand. And same thing with the savory pies with the burek. She does, and the meat one is my favorite, even though I think I'm going to start transitioning to being a vegetarian.
Oh, are you?
I have my friend Albert, my best friend who's Albanian that lives here, he's been talking to me so much about being a vegetarian. So I'm actually highly considering it.
Interesting. So byrek, is that?
Byrek. Yes.
Is that kind of like a pot pie or a quiche kind of thing with a lid?
No, it's Turkish inspired. You know,
I see.
Turkey and Greece had a lot of influences into Albanian cuisine. And it's layered filo dough, kind of like baklava, but the dough is made different because it's savory. And then she makes the filling that goes inside. She can make different ones. She makes it from leek, spinach, meat, cheese. So it depends. But it's a savory pie, and it's cut in triangles.
Yes, and you sometimes have more than one to choose from.
Yes, sometimes.
Your offering of food there is so beautiful, and it's on the counter that you built with the rounded edges, and the sun pours in on it, and I think, you know, pinch me, this place is so beautiful.
Thank you so much.
I love being in there. It's clean and fresh and wonderful, warm colors. And, you know, if people weren't friendly to you, it would still be warm and welcoming, but then the people are friendly too.
Awesome.
So you and your wife make a lovely team, both supporting each other's dreams. I know that you are a carpenter by trade and interested in real estate, and she is building this coffee business, and you're making everything happen kind of together rather fluidly, like a dance. And she's also from Albania, but doing the math, you know, you moved here in 2002, but you met her later. I wonder if you would be willing to tell us about how you two met.
I won't get into a lot of detail, but we actually met in high school. So the high school that we went to was a private high school. And in order for you to attend this high school, you have to take an exam. And if you pass the exam, then you can go into the school. And if you don't pass, they don't allow you in, even though you're willing to pay for it or can afford it. So I remember noticing her the day of the exam. And I brought her when we were visiting Albania one day. I took her to the school and I brought her and I pointed to where she was sitting the day of the exam. So we went to high school together. And then shortly after my sophomore year, end of sophomore year, I moved to the U.S. and didn't go back to visit till 5 years later. And we met as friends for a cup of coffee.
In a coffee shop?
Yes, and yeah. I secretly had a huge crush on her when we were in high school. I just never had the guts to say anything or admit it. But we were very close friends. And then when I went back, we met for a cup of coffee. I got in the car, gave her a hug and a kiss, and she started driving, and I was just standing, staring, and not talking. And she's like, "Why aren't you talking?" And I said, "Just give me a second. I need to catch my breath," and she slaps me.
Wake up.
She thought I was being smart, but I really wasn't. It was true. So from there on, the rest is kind of a long history, which we kind of limited in time. But
yeah, sure. So you met there.
Yeah, and then we went to school together.
Married
and then,
there?
We went back. So we celebrate four things. We celebrate the day that we... I'm going to just touch upon a little longer on that. So we met as friends for a cup of coffee. And then later on, I finally said what I used to feel and how I would still feel it again. But my time was very limited. I was only in Albania for a week. And at the end of the week, I leave. And in Italy, instead of taking my connecting flight to the U.S., I actually buy another flight and go back to Albania for another week. Just to pursue it longer, and then went back twice that year. But I've actually lost my train of thought.
Married there?
Yes, we did. So she moved here afterwards, and then we've been together for about 9 years now, and we got married in 2014, officially in Albania, but we were married privately before that in the city hall in Portland, which not many people know about.
Oh, and pretty much next door to your
coffee
shop.
Well, yes, that's what I was saying, that we celebrate four dates. We celebrate the date we got together, the date we got engaged, our private wedding, and then our official wedding.
There's a lot of love. Got to celebrate love. There's nothing better. So if people want to take a look at your gorgeous craftsmanship in your bright, clean, new coffee shop, or they have want to have a latte with a unicorn on top, can you tell listeners how to find you?
They can find us online on Facebook at Coffee Me Up Portland, or on Instagram at Coffee Me Up Portland, on Yelp, Google, or they can stop by at 221 Cumberland Ave.
Great. Mateo, you are so industrious, strategic, and driven. And you balance that with your joy for life and your gratitude and your appreciation of the humanity in each of us. I wish you all the success in the world. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here, Kate. I'm glad we crossed paths in life.
Me too.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. Please join us each week for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. If you would like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainersspeak.com and check out more related information on facebook.com/newmainersspeak. New Mainers Speak is also rebroadcast each Monday, 4:30 p.m. on WERU-FM. So hello to Blue Hill and Bangor. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Mateo Hodo. Mateo, will you please introduce the song you've chosen to close today's program and tell us a little bit about why you chose this song?
This song, it's called Love for the Summer, and it's by DJ Aldo. He is an Albanian DJ. I think he's quite amazing and very talented, and I think if he was Dutch, he would have been world famous. That's why it kind of, because Albania, it's a little far behind. But I actually think it's a beautiful song, and it just, summer is coming up, and I just wanted to listen to it again, and hopefully it can make some people's day.
Wonderful. DJ Aldo with Love for the Summer.